Parshas Tetzaveh. After Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu about all the things that the Yidden should bring for the building of the Mishkan, Hashem told Moshe at the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, let the Yidden bring to you a very special oil, Shemen Zayis Zach, pure olive oil, which should be used for the menorah. Yes, Kindalach, Hashem wanted the Yidden to get more and more mitzvahs, so Hashem gave them more things that they can do for the Mishkan. And Hashem said to Moshe, you yourself should be the one in charge to receive all the olive oil that the Yidden will bring. Now, Kindalach, the olive oil for the menorah was a very special one. It wasn't just plain ordinary olive oil, but it was the best. The first drops of oil that came out from the olive were perfectly clear. All the other oil that came out later from the olives were not so clear and were not used for the menorah. Instead, it was used for other karbanos, like the menachos, as we're going to learn later in Yirtzeh Hashem. Now, Kindalach, why did Hashem want only olive oil to be used for the menorah and not any other kind of oil? Well, Kindalach, olive oil is very special. The Yidden are compared to olive oil. Just like the olive oil is the finest of all oils, the same thing, the Yidden are the holiest of all the nations. Yes, Kindalach, the Yidden are just like oil. When we take any liquid, Kindalach, water, juice, or anything else, and we mix it with other liquids, they can very easily mix together that you cannot tell them apart. But oil is different. Oil never gets mixed with anything else. If you take oil and try to mix it with any water or juice, the oil will never mix, it will always stay separated. Also, Kindalach, oil always floats to the top. If you take some water and take some oil and try to mix it, not only will the oil not mix, it will suddenly float all the way up to the top. And the same thing, Kindalach, is with the Yidden. Wherever the Yidden are, even in the time of Galus, when the Yidden are spread out in the four corners of the world, they are amongst Goyish nations, but they do not mix. They never mix together with the Goyim. The Yidden always stay separated, learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. And not only that, Kindalach, as long as the Yidden do Hashem's will, the Yidden will rise above all the other nations, just like oil always rises to the top. And Kindalach, of course, just as oil serves to bring light to the world, the same thing, Kindalach, the Yidden are in this world to bring light, the light of Torah, into the whole world. Yes, Kindalach, this is the very special light that was shining from the menorah in the Mishkan, and later on from the Beis HaMikdash, and gave light to the whole world. Now, Kindalach, as you remember, we have learned in Parshas Truma that the menorah, which had seven branches, had like cups on the top of each branch in which the Kohanim would pour in the special olive oil, the Shemen Zayis. And the Kohanim would fill up these cups with oil every evening. Now, how did the Kohanim light the menorah? Well, it happened like this, Kinderlach. Every morning, a Kohen would come into the Kodesh section of the Mishkan and walked up the steps that was in front of the Menorah. The Kohen emptied the ashes that were in the lamps. He took away the burned wicks and put in new fresh ones. Then he poured olive oil into each lamp from a jar that had a half of a loig. That is, a large cup full of oil, pure shemen zeis. The Kohen did this every morning, but he did not light the menorah until later on in the afternoon. The mitzvah of lighting the menorah, Kinderlach, is so great that Hashem said that the light of the menorah is more precious than all the light of the sun and the moon. And our Chachamim tell us, Kinderlach, that every morning the Kohen who came in to clean the menorah saw a great miracle that took place. As I told you, there was only a certain amount of oil that was placed in the menorah. That was enough to last for one full night. But, Kinderlach, when the Kohen came in the morning, he would find that six of the seven lights were already burnt out, but the seventh one, the middle one, which is called the Ner HaMa'aravi, the western light, was still burning. How could this be? It didn't get any more oil than the other six. This was a miracle from Hashem, to show the Yidden that Hashem's Shekhinah rested in the Mishkan. Now, Kinderlach, that Kohen would not touch the burning middle light, but he cleaned the other six lamps and put in the new wicks. The Kohen who entered in the afternoon, Kinderlach, to light the menorah, found that the middle light was still burning brightly. And you know what? He used the middle light to light all the other six lamps. And after he lit the six lights, then he put out the middle light, clear the ashes from the middle lamp, and light the middle light again. Now, Kinderlach, you may wonder, why did they need any light at all in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash? Hashem is the one who brings light to the whole world. Hashem is the one who made light when the Yidden traveled in the Midbar. And Hashem gave the Amud Ha'esh, the pillar of fire, which gave light all night. So what did the light of the menorah do, Kinderlach? The answer is, as our Chachamim tell us, the light of the menorah was to shine outwards, to shine out from the Mishkan and from the Beis HaMikdash and shine throughout the whole world. In fact, this was the reason why the windows in the Beis HaMikdash were very special and different than all other windows. You see, Kinderlach, in the olden times, windows were made in a very special way to bring light from the outside into the house. And for this, the window would get wider and wider as it would go from the outside of the house to the inside. Like this, the light that came from outside would spread out into the whole house. But in the Beis HaMikdash, Kinderlach, the windows were different. They were shkufim atumim. That means that the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, the windows were very narrow and small, and as they went through the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, they got wider and wider in order to bring out the light of the menorah from the Beis HaMikdash and spread it throughout the whole world, that the whole world will see that the Shekhinah is resting among the Yidden. So you can very well understand, Kindalach, what kind of great mitzvah this was, that the Yidden would bring the very special oil to Moshe, Shemen Zayis Zach, the pure olive oil for the Menorah. And in our days, Kindalach, that we don't have yet the Beis HaMikdash, we can also have a share in this great mitzvah by giving money to a shul or to a yeshiva, that they should also have enough money for the electricity in order to have light for Yidden to learn Torah and to daven to Hashem. And in this Zechus Kindalach, Hashem will reward us that very soon we will be able to give the same tzedakah for the light of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, the third Beis HaMikdash, which is going to be rebuilt speedily through the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Amen. And now, Kindalach, we come to the next part of our parsha, which talks about another mitzvah, which is specially for the Kohanim, and that is Bigdei Kehuna, the very special clothes that the Kohanim would wear. And do you know, Kindalach, before the Yidden sinned with the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, the Becharim of all the Yidden, of all the Shvatim, were supposed to be the Kohanim. That is, they were supposed to do the work in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. But after the sin of the golden calf, Hashem took away that special schus from the Becharim and gave it over to the family of Aharon HaKohen. Hashem commanded Aharon and his sons to do the very special service, the Avodah, in the Mishkan. Hashem commanded Moshe, when you will have completed the work of the Mishkan, take Aharon and his four sons, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, and Isamar. Take them from among the Yidden to become my Kohanim. Now when Moshe heard this, Kindalach, Moshe felt a little upset. Why aren't his own sons the Kohanim? Hashem comforted him and said, your brother Aharon's children are like your own. And you know why, Kindalach? Because Moshe taught them Torah. And when you teach Torah to another Yid, you are not only his teacher, but you are just like his father. And therefore, since Moshe taught Aharon's children Torah, it's just like they are Moshe's children, and therefore Moshe should be happy that his children, that is, his Talmidim, are Kohanim. Yes, Kindalach, it was from then on that Aharon's children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren for all generations to come, they all are Kohanim. But Aharon himself is even greater than a Kohen. He is a Kohen Gadol. That's right. In every generation, there is one Kohen who is called Kohen Gadol. He is the greatest Kohen of all. He is like their leader, and they all follow his instructions. Now, Kindalach, Hashem said to Moshe that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim have to wear special beautiful clothes during the time that they do the special work in the Mishkan. The Kohen Gadol's clothing will be even more beautiful than the clothing of all the other Kohanim. This will show that he is different than all the other Kohanim. He is dressed up like a king. When the Yidden will see that the Kohanim are dressed in such wonderful clothes, they will realize that the Kohanim are very special people. And so the Yidden will respect them in the right way. That's why these clothes are called Bigdei Kehuna, the clothes that are worn by the Kayanim when they serve Hashem in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash. Because these clothes are so special, Kinolach, only a Kohen may wear them, and not a Levi or another Yid. Also, Kinolach, a Kohen may wear them only while he's in the Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash. When he leaves, he must take them off. Also, a Kohen may not go to sleep in the Big Day Kahuna, because that will be disrespectful to sleep with such halakha clothes. Also, Kinolach, when the Kohen does do the work in the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash, he must wear exactly those clothes that the Torah tells him to. He is not allowed to be missing even one of these garments. Now, what kind of clothes did they wear? Well, the Torah tells us that the Kohen would wear four garments. The first one is kutaines, a long shirt. This was woven of white linen and reached down to the Kohen's feet. A second thing was avnet, a belt, a gartel. The Kohen wore the gartel on top of the long shirt. This gartel was very, very long. It was 32 amos. That's around 50 feet long. This gartel was wound many times around the Kohen's waist. It was made of beautiful colored materials. The third thing, Kinolach, was michnasayim, pants. These pants were made in a very special way. They were woven from white linen. They weren't that long to reach his feet, like ordinary pants, but they were shorter than that. But, Kinolach, the shirt, the kutaines, was so long that did reach down to the feet and covered over their pants that the pants were not able to be seen from the outside. Then, Kinolach, comes the megba'as, a turban. That's a very special kind of hat that the Kohen wore on his head. That was a long, white band of linen which was wound around the Kohen's head many times around and around until it formed a pointed hat. And so, Kinolach, these are the four garments that a Kohen would wear. But Kinolach, the Kohen Gadol, did not wear only four. He wore eight special garments. First of all, he would wear the four that a regular Kohen wears, except for the hat, which was a little different. The Kohen Gadol's turban, his hat, was called mitznefes. It was also made from a white strip of cloth and was wound around his head, but it was flattened on the top and not pointed like the other Kohanim. Also, the Kohen Gadol wore four more garments than the regular Kohen. What were the four more garments that the Kohen Gadol wore? First of all, he had the ephod. Ephod is like an apron. Instead of being worn in front and tied in the back like an apron, the Kohen Gadol wore it on his back and it was tied in the front. Yes, Kinolach, it's like wearing an apron backwards. Now, Kinolach, the apron was also held up by two straps that went over the Kohen Gadol's shoulders from the back to the front. In each shoulder strap, there was a very special diamond that was placed right on top of the shoulder on the strap. There was one precious diamond on one shoulder and a second one on the other shoulder. And on these two diamonds, Kinolach, Hashem said they should write down the names of all the Shvatim. They were not written with ink, but they were engraved, that is, scratched in into the stones. Six names were scratched onto the first stone that was on one shoulder, and the other six names on the other stone. Now Kinelach, in front of the Kohen, the two shoulder straps were connected to two golden chains, on which there hung the Chayshen Mishpat, the breastplate. Yes, Kinelach, this is the second special garment that the Kohen Gadol would wear. How was the Chayshen Mishpat made, Kinelach? Well, the Torah tells us it was made of beautifully woven material. This material was folded over in the middle, and it formed a square. It became like a pocket. Inside that pocket, Moshe put in the Urim V'Tumim. What is that? That's a piece of parchment, a very special skin from an animal, on which Hashem's holy name of 72 letters was written on it. Hashem commanded that 12 precious stones should be put into settings on the woven material of the Chayshen Mishpat. On each of these 12 stones was written the name of one Shevet. One stone had Reuven, another stone had Shimon, a third one had Levi, and so on. All the 12 Shvatim were engraved in these 12 stones. Now, Kinelach, if we look at all of the letters of the alephbeis that we find in the 12 names of the Shvatim, we will see that there are some letters of the alephbeis that are not there. So, Hashem said to Moshe to add certain letters on each stone, that is, besides the name of the Shevet, also to add some letters that come out from the words of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shivtei Yeshurun, by adding these words and letters to the stones in a very special way as Hashem showed Moshe. Then we had all the 22 letters of the alephbeis spread out on these 12 stones. When the Kohen Gadol wore the Chayshen Mishpat, he could never forget the 12 Shvatim. He kept them in mind when he did the Avodah. When he davened, he asked Hashem to help the Yidden and bench them. And Hashem, too, always saw the Chayshen Mishpat with the names of the 12 Shvatim. Hashem would remember what great tzaddikim all the 12 sons of Yaakov wore, and in their schos, Hashem helped all the Yidden. Now, Kinelach, the two stones that were on the two shoulder straps and the 12 stones that were on the Chayshen Mishpat, how were they cut? Hashem said that no one should use a knife or any other tool for cutting these stones. So how were they cut to the right size? And then the letters of the names of the Shvatim written and engraved on it? Moshe was not able to use any irons or knives or anything. Har Chachamim tell us, Kinelach, that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Hashem had created, during the 6 days of creation, a little insect as small as a grain of barley. It was a very small insect that could split anything in the world, even the hardest rocks. It can split it apart just by passing over them. This wonderful insect was called Shamir. Moshe commanded that the Shamir should be brought to him. This Shamir was passed over the precious stones of the Ephod and of the Chayshen Mishpat, and they split exactly on the line that was marked by the workers. That is, Bezalel and Eliav, as we're going to learn about later in Yirta Hashem. It was also this Shamir, Kinelach, that was used for scratching out and engraving the names of the Shvatim on the stones. It was first written with ink. The Shamir went over the ink and scratched out those names onto the precious stones. Now, Kinelach, as soon as the Urim v'Tumim were placed into the Chayshan Mishpat, and the Chayshan Mishpat was complete, it did something very special for the Yidden. That is, if the Yidden ever had a question, which was a very important one, which was necessary for all the Yidden together to know the answer, or for the Beis Din to know the answer, then they would come to the Kohen Gadol, who would be wearing the Chayshan Mishpat. The Kohen Gadol turned his face in the direction of the Aron, on which the Shechinah rested, and the one who has the question would stand behind the Kohen Gadol. He would ask his question in a quiet voice, just like he would be davening. The Ruach HaKodesh would then rest on the Kohen Gadol, and he would look on the 12 stones of the Chayshan Mishpat, where he would see all the letters of the Aleph Beis of all the names of the Shvatim, but only some of the letters of the Aleph Beis would light up. Yes, it was a miracle. Some of the letters of the Aleph Beis would light up, and the Kohen looked at those letters and took all the letters that were lit up together, and he saw how it formed a word, and this word was the answer to the question. That's right. This is the way the Yidden were able to find out the answer from Hashem on very important questions. It was through the Kohen Gadol with his Ruach HaKodesh looking on the Chayshan Mishpat. And Kinelach, this is also why the piece of parchment with Hashem's secret name, which was written on it, which was placed in the Chayshan Mishpat, that's why it's called Urim v'Tumim. Urim is like the word Ayir, light, because it brought light to those letters of the Aleph Beis, which spelled out the word, the answer from Hashem. And Tumim means that this was the final decision from Hashem. Also from the word Tum, which means perfect. This is the perfect and exact answer from Hashem. And now, Kinelach, the third special garment of the Kohen Gadol, that is, the me'il, the mantle. This is like a long coat, which was worn by the Kohen Gadol. This was made of a very special, beautiful, sky blue wool. The me'il, Kinelach, had no sleeves. There were just two openings for the two arms. On the top, Kinelach, there was a hole for the Kohen Gadol's head, and on the bottom of the me'il, there was another very, very special thing. There were 72 bells and 72 cloth pomegranate.